So this summer, we're in a season in which we're calling it Better Together. You know, when people, individually, you can do so much, but when you work with a team of people, we truly are better together. More can get done. Michael Jordan said that individuals with incredible talent can win games, but it takes a team to win championships. And so thank you, church family, for being a championship team in getting things done. So the title of the message this morning is this: a spirit-fueled movement. A spirit-fueled movement. I'm going to explain that. You see, in the book of Acts, there's examples where God will take a handful of people. It doesn't have to be a lot, just a few. And these people band together, they are better together, and when the Holy Spirit, God's authority in their life, is at work, it becomes a movement. It becomes a force. It becomes an influential group of people to make an impact in the world. Now, the secret to a spirit-fueled movement is found in Ephesians 2:4. It's in your notes. Let's read that together. But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. You see, in this verse is the secret of becoming a spirit-fueled movement, and it's this: Christ has made us alive on the inside. Now, I want you to know the big idea of the message. It's real simple. God wants you to be alive on the inside. Not just partway, but fully alive, so that when you get up in the morning and you look at your future, you're excited about it. You have a sense of passion for life. You know why? He wants you to be alive on the inside. When you get a group of people together who are all alive individually on the inside, you know what happens? You become a spirit-fueled movement in which God uses to be a blessing in our world. I was up at the jail last Friday. Usually go up there about once a month. There are three pods, three different units in which there's folks that are housed there. There are two guy pods and one female. And I asked him this question. I said, how many here feel dead on the inside? And I said, how many feel alive on the inside? Now, here was the response. Some of them were honest enough, and they said, you know what? I feel dead on the inside. In other words, their life at that moment, as of Friday, they felt like they were at a dead end. Whatever they were dealing with, the law, drugs, whatever it was that landed them there, they just feel like they were stuck and at a dead end. There were other people in the jail who said they felt alive on the inside. I was amazed. People that, I don't know, they had a different perspective despite being there. And then there were people that said they were both. They were part alive and they were part dead. And so as we think about being alive with Christ, I want you to know this. The purpose of God through Christ for you is this. He wants you to be fully alive on the inside. It's what he died for. It's what he paid a price for. And his love for us, his mercy and grace, enables us, empowers us to figure out how to become alive on the inside. And so when you put a group of people together who have this aliveness, let me tell you, amazing things can happen. This summer has been incredible for our church. Back in June 11th, we dedicated the pavilion. That was a great accomplishment just to get that up. The military came, and this kind of all fell into our lap because we were located right next to the high school, and the command center for the volunteers is next door and downstairs. The county has a communication center, and it's a privilege just to be a part of this. And then next August or next month, we're doing the pancake tent, and things are just happening all around us. Let me tell you, it's an amazing experience to be a part of a group of people that are spirit-fueled. And God just pours good things into our lives and into our laps. And so our theme for the year is immeasurably more. And we prayed that at the beginning of the year, and we've been praying it. God has been answering that. And so the summer's been incredible. And we're on this sense of journey with God's blessing. So here's what I want to do today. I want to share some thoughts about how we become spirit alive. And these key thoughts come from Bishop Keith Coward's message that we heard at annual conference. That's what, he was the author of these. One of the best messages I've heard on just how to live life. And so I give him credit for many of these thoughts. But let me share with you today three simple thoughts about spirit aliveness, that if all of us do this, good things can happen. In your notes, let's get started. Number one, the first thing we do to experience spirit aliveness is we get hungry for God. We get hungry for God. In the book of Acts, there's a story, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, about a group of people. There's five mentioned here. There probably were more. But it's about how they were hungry for God. And I want you to read those verses with me, verses 1 and 2a in your notes. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. So get the picture. Five people, could have been more, but five of them were gathered together. Maybe they're having church. Maybe it's just a Bible study. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting. I want you to circle the word fasting. When we fast, we generally think of giving up food, and that's probably the heart of it. And when we fast the pleasures of food, we get more intensely in tune with the Spirit of God. If you got a big problem going in your life, can I give you a suggestion? Skip a meal or a day, whatever it is, and spend some time in prayer and get hungry for God. These guys were hungry and thirsty for God himself. Now, Blaise Pascal made this comment. Let me read it to you. There's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Here's what he's saying. There's a vacuum in each of our hearts. There's a hungering and a thirsting that can only be filled and satisfied through what Christ has done for us. We are made in God's image. The problem in our society is we have so many good things and we get busy and we fill the vacuum with something other than what God wants to fill us with. These guys got hungry for God through fasting. Now, in Matthew 5, 6, in your notes, Jesus says this. Let's read it together. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You want to know a principle or promise? If you get hungry and thirsty for God, you will be filled. It's a promise. You literally focus on what God would want for your life, and you go after it, and that hunger drives you to spirit aliveness. The last promise, Isaiah 55, 1, let's read it. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. At the jail last Friday, we talked about getting hungry for God. And we had a conversation that went something like this. Before you go to bed tonight, get on your knees. Now, they're in a cell. And just tell God that you need him. You're desperate for him. You really want him. And so we don't have to be there. We can be in our own homes. But when you and I get desperate and hungry for God, listen, things are going to start to happen in our life. That's what happened to these five guys. Now, I've got a couple quotes. Here's the first one I'll have Jake put up. Hunger for God will lead you to encounter him. Just take some time today, tonight, tomorrow. Get hungry for him. You will encounter him if you really seek him and are thirsty for him. Here's another one. If you're not hungry for God, you're probably full of yourself. Just had to put this one in. But let me just stop here. We fill our hunger with other things. And we become a deluded believer. And the sense of aliveness somehow isn't there. You know why? We filled the vacuum with other stuff rather than God himself. That's why if you can make so much money, you think that'll satisfy you. You're going to get to the end of that rainbow and you'll be unfulfilled. You can be a workaholic. You can do all kinds of things, activities and so forth. But at the end of it all, you're going to be empty. You know why? The vacuum in our hearts can only be filled with the presence of God to bring satisfaction in life. And so be careful what you fill your vacuum with. And here's the last quote. I like this one. God releases more of his power and presence according to the measure of our hunger for him. You got a big problem in your life right now? You know how to solve it or go after it? Get on your knees and get hungry for God, and he will release power and presence to give you victory in that circumstance. So that's the first thing. Get hungry, and the aliveness of God is going to start coming into your life. Number two, this one I love. The second point of how to experience spirit aliveness is this: listen for God's voice. Listen for his voice. Read with me the verse Acts 13:2 in your notes. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." I want you to notice the first four words. The Holy Spirit said. Now circle the word said. I have never audibly heard the voice of God. Some people have had that experience. I can't say I have. The way God speaks to me is I read his word and he gives me ideas and impressions and thoughts that line up with his word. And he speaks to me, not audibly, but he communicates to me in that way. I don't know if these guys heard the voice or they just knew it. When the Spirit of God speaks to your life, you just know it. It's an intuitive thing. Now, here's the neat part. Here's what the Spirit said. The word said means breath or wind. The Greek word is pneuma. And when you put that together, it's the holy breath. It's the holy wind. It's the Holy Spirit said. Notice with me, he called them by name. There's five guys in the first few verses. Two of them, the Holy Spirit calls by name, Barnabas and Saul. I want you to know that God knows your name. And when he calls you and leads you, he's going to call you by name. He knows us that well. He doesn't look over us. We're not forgotten. He called them by name, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. So God is a God who, if we take time to listen, will speak to us. You may be here today, and you got a tough decision coming up. Maybe it's about where to move, or a relationship, or money. It could be about health. It could be a lot of things. If you take time to listen to the Holy Spirit, he will direct you in the path he wants you to go. But the secret is, God speaks to people who take time to listen. If we don't take the time to listen, we probably won't get the answer. But if you take time and you allow that vacuum to be filled by God's presence himself, you get hungry for it, let me tell you, he will show up and speak to you. I want you to know that the voice of the Holy Spirit is the highest authority voice on the planet. Now, medical doctors, they do amazing things, and they can give a diagnosis about something, but you know what? The Holy Spirit has a higher authority than a medical doctor. The Holy Spirit has a higher authority than parents voice into their kids' lives. Parents may want their kid to do this, and maybe they feel like God wants them to do that, and the Spirit of God has the highest authority. Let me flip it a little bit. Maybe you're here and you're in grief or depression, and it's a hole that you find yourself in. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit has a higher authority than the grief or depression that we experience. He can speak life, aliveness, into that which is dead or that which is struggling. So when you and I take time for the Spirit of God to speak, he knows you by name, going to call you out. He loves you. And he can speak life into that very area where you need direction. Now, in this text, it says, the Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. I want to talk to you this morning about three different kinds of calling. It applies to everybody. Letter A in your notes. The first calling is this. Everyone on planet Earth, including us, is called to a relationship with Christ. Everybody. If there's one thing you do not want to miss in this lifetime, it's this. You can miss a whole bunch of other stuff in life, but you do not want to miss being called and hearing the voice of Christ draw you to himself. Here's why. We all get so many years in life, and life is over. And at the end, the Bible says there's the hell to avoid, there's a heaven to gain, and Jesus died so that we could go to heaven. So we want to connect in this relationship with Christ. Read with me 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God calls you out of darkness and out of deadness into aliveness and into his marvelous light. It's who he is. It's his plan for you. It's his purpose. And so the calling of Christ is to call people who were dead in their sins, dead in their life on the inside, to aliveness and into a wonderful, marvelous light. So calling number one, connect your life to Christ. Letter B is calling number two, backside of the sermon listening guide. The second kind of calling is this. You're called to a holy life in Christ. Read with me 2 Timothy 1:8-9. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. You see, once Christ is in your life, in my life, we're then called to a holy life. It's a process. It takes time. The big word in the Bible that's used is called sanctification. It's something that we do over and over again, and we become holy. At the jail on Friday, we were talking about gardening, and there were some people there that were gardeners. They loved the fruits and veggies and so forth. And one of the roles of the gardener is to always keep the weeds in check. I mean, it's just part of the territory. Because the weeds suck off nutrients from the ground. And so we were talking about that, and understand that when we are called to a holy life, God will continue to weed our life. He will pull up stuff that doesn't belong there or shouldn't be there. And it will then give more nutrients in the soil for the plant itself and for the roots. So a holy life is a life that gets weeded over time. Just part of the process of who God is to us. So that's a calling. And here's the third one, letter C. The third level of calling is when we're called to a specific work or ministry. Now, read with me verse 2 in your notes. And the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Now, they were called to a specific assignment. He says, set them apart, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them. Do you realize you are called to a specific work? God will give each of us an assignment. We just have to be open to understand it and receive it because we want to walk in connection with him. The word set apart means to entrust. It means that we're summoned by God's Spirit. So in this text, we find that some were teachers. They mastered a topic and could impart it to others. Some were a prophet. They preached through foretelling or forthtelling. Could be an evangelist, could be a teacher, a missionary, an administrator. When I was up at the jail, I asked the ladies, there were 14 of them, I said, "What do you think you're called to?" Some of them didn't raise their hands. The majority of them didn't. This one lady sitting right across the table from me, she had her hand up, and I said, what are you called to? And you know what she said? "I'm called to be a mom." Isn't that neat? She knows her calling in life. If you are called to be a mom, be the best mom in the world you can be. I mean, just go all in and go out to be a mom to kids that need your love and shaping their hearts. The world needs more moms and dads that are just there for the kids. Another one was a teacher. She had taught for many years, and some people are called to teach. Here's the point. Depending how you are wired, your gifts and abilities, God will call you to a certain kind of work or ministry. I mean, that's just what he does. And so we have to listen for his voice. We have to get hungry for God. And he will make it clear what it is he wants us to do. And the end result, listen, is aliveness. When we get on the same page with God, we become alive on the inside. Now, here's a couple quotes. If God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. Isn't that great? You know, not everybody's a missionary and so forth, but whatever he calls you to, go for it. Don't stoop to be something else, even though it seems more noble. People serve in the military. They feel called. They serve in the school. They feel called. Just find what it is you're called to do and let God bless you in it. Here's another one. Whenever God calls us to a task, he will equip us. In other words, he'll take your life and get you ready for it. He'll equip you in the process. And here's the last one. God doesn't choose the worthy. He chooses the willing. Now let me stop here. Willingness is huge. Because sometimes it's not the most gifted person that'll get the assignment because they are too busy doing something else. But when God finds a willing person, he will line your gift mix up with an assignment that will bring aliveness to your life, and you can become a part of something that's spirit-fueled, that you just enjoy, that you rub shoulders with people that you're glad to be with, and all of a sudden life takes on new meaning. A spirit fueled movement. So get hungry. Aliveness will start to come. Number two, listen. Listen for God's voice. God speaks to those who take time to listen. And finally, number three. The third point is this. Be available to live on mission with God. Be available to be on mission with God himself. Read with me again verse 3 in your notes. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Circle the word sent. It means to release. It means to be set free. And so when God calls someone, you know, it may be a calling to do what you're doing and just do it better. You just continue in the lane in life you're on. Or if the Holy Spirit speaks, he could breathe something in your life during this service and it will change the direction of your future. It may change your career path. It may change how you do life, where you go. That's how he works. We just listen to his voice, but listen, the end result is aliveness. Whenever we obey that voice, it brings aliveness. We are released to go forward. And read with me, John 20, 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Jesus said he was sent, and then he says, "You know what? I am sending you." You are on mission wherever you go to represent him. The pancake tent is coming up in August. It's a tough week, but you know what? There's a huge payoff for doing it. We're on mission. We're going with the sense of purpose. Pastor Jack reminded me after the first service that Isaiah, God had a call on his life before he was born. The Bible says that before you and I are born, God's got a call on your life. And he's got a purpose for it. We just have to understand it and embrace it. Let the pneuma, the spirit, the breath, the wind of God somehow settle into our hearts. And the Holy Spirit said, he speaks to us, not audibly, but he gives us the direction in our soul of what he wants us to do. And you know what the end result is? Aliveness. Aliveness. Just get in sync with what his voice is leading you to do. And let me tell you, you'll feel awesome about life, excited to get up in the morning and to go forward. Here's a quote. God is a ministry in the church and a mission in the world for you to fulfill. I just want to be so simple and clear on this. You may be here saying, you know, I'm trying to figure out my life's purpose or what my next step is. Everybody's in that place at times. But if you're hungry for God and you're willing to listen to his voice and you make yourself available, he will make clear to you his ministry in the church and your mission in the world that he wants you to fulfill. Here's my closing slide. You're destined to do more than what you're doing right now. Just have the courage to say yes to who God called you to be. I want you to let that soak in. Your future is amazing. And it starts with becoming alive in him. And when you find other people that are alive with that sense of spirit in their life, you get a group of people, it fuels into a movement, and you're then on mission to do great things together. Let me tell you, that's the essence of life. Find people who you love and they love you, and you get on mission with them. Make a difference in your homes and in your communities or wherever you work, whatever you do. You're destined to do more than what you're doing right now. Our theme for the year is immeasurably more, and God has just blessed us in amazing ways, and I'm excited about the second half of the year, all that's going to happen because of being a part of a group of people who are alive, and we experience a sense of being spirit-fueled, and we become a movement. I'm going to close in prayer, and I want to pray for three different groups of people. The first group is that everyone be called into a relationship with Christ. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer just to, for everybody here to come to Christ. Maybe you already know him. Secondly, I'm going to pray for the holy life, the sense of God continuing to weed our life. And thirdly, I'm going to pray for the people here that you've been wondering what your next assignment is from God or what your purpose is. Let me tell you, he can show you this morning just because of his breath and the wind of his presence. So let's bow together in prayer. So the first calling is when you're called to Christ. And I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. You can pray it silently after me, in which you just open your heart to Christ if you've never done so. Father, thank you for that you love me. Thank you that your grace is for me. I confess I need you today. Forgive me of all my sins in trying to do life apart from you. Forgive me for not listening like I should. I believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again. And he's alive forevermore. And so right now by faith, I open the door of my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Or I recommit my life to him. May he be my Savior and my Lord. Bring aliveness to my life, I pray, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, did anybody pray that prayer to ask Jesus in for the first time? If you did, put your hand up and put it down. Anybody here? Okay, thank you, thank you. Group number two, the process of a holy life. Father, each of us here want to live a holy life that honors you. And we give you the rights to weed the garden of our hearts. As painful as it might be at times, we just ask that you would come and just lead us into a deeper life with you, a holy life, and take the stuff out that is holding us back, that is taking away from the nutrition that should be going somewhere else. Father, weed our life, we pray. And finally, calling number three. This is where the Holy Spirit speaks to you by name and reveals to you his work assignment, the kind of job he wants you to have, whether it's kids or adults or continuing on what you're doing or some other path, he reveals that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take just a few moments of silence. And I want the Holy Spirit, you allow him to call you by name and to show you the answer to the question you have of what your next assignment is. Just listen to his voice. Father, there's people here that are hungry and thirsty for you, and they're listening right now, and I pray you'll make it so clear to them what your plan and decision is for the next step of their life. And Father, I pray that as they listen to that voice and follow it, you will make them alive on the inside. They will get excited and passionate about life because they're serving you to the fullest ability of the gifts and the talents you've given to them. So, Lord, may the Holy Spirit speak with authority and decisiveness. Call us by name. Make it clear of what you're calling us to do, because we want to honor you with the remainder of our days and our life. For this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.